Manuscript Releases, Volume 11, Numbers 851 to 920. MR. Number 868. Western Transportation in the Times of Ellen White. Cheyenne, Wyoming, August 21st, 1878. We are now in the hotel, waiting the overland train from California. It is rather warm. We have had no sleep of any account yet. I left one package of Sunshine Series for that gentleman who attended to the sprained ankle. The package of Hominy is in Father's room on the shelf. We feel that we will get through all right. I feel that I am in the way of my duty, although I am very tired and long for rest. The train comes to take us at 3:30. I hope you will all go over to the park and have a pleasant camping trip. You may never have as good a time again to make this trip. 45, 1878, page 1. Postcard to Ellen White's family, who are vacationing at Rollinsville, Colorado. Council Bluffs, Iowa, August 22nd, 1878. We have made the change all right. Glad you were not on board today. Hot. Almost unendurable. We have a lower berth in drawing room car. Well situated. $3 to Chicago. Cheap enough, I think. I am glad that so many of you are in the cool mountains. Stay there as long as you can. I think Emma would be rather oppressed with her woolen dress. I am glad she is not on board this train. The heat would wilt and exhaust her. At one time today, it seemed as though I should faint away. But a cool breeze sprang up, and we feel better. I think I am in the way of duty. It is fearfully oppressive. Yet God will sustain. Chicago, October 23rd, 1878. We left Battle Creek Wednesday, October 23rd. Found Brother Armstrong waiting for us. Took a streetcar after walking a quarter of a mile with our baggage. We rode about 5 miles to the home of Brother Armstrong. We found a cheerful fire in the sitting room. This was our sleeping room. After social conversation, we had a season of prayer, and retired feeling we were blessed indeed. Chicago, October 24th, 1878, Thursday morning. Rested well through the night. Awakened with feelings of gratitude for the favors received and the blessings of God with which He has abundantly supplied us. My heart goes out to God in prayer for His guidance and His grace. We met Elder Butler and Elder Andrew's mother in the Chicago depot. Elder Butler was on his way to Battle Creek. He assisted us in rechecking baggage and in moving baggage to sleeping car. Brother Armstrong's daughter was very attentive, accompanying us to depot and interesting herself in our being properly arranged in the car. Between Chicago and Richland, Kansas, October 25th, 1878. On the cars. Rested well last night. We had our window open and gave our lungs food. The cars were very hot, and no ventilation was allowed from the ventilator above. This morning there is a great complaint of faintness and languor when no effort is made to give us fresh air. There are 30 who have passed the night in a closed car. Emanations from the bodies and exhalations from the lungs have poisoned the air. Yet no windows except mine have been raised to let in the rich blessing heaven has provided in fresh, pure air. Must the health and life of travellers be imperiled by being left to the control of ignorant porters and one or two sick passengers? We will have air from outside. We will not endanger health and life because of the ignorance of porters. We changed cars at Kansas City. The porter put us in the wrong car, and we were obliged to pay $6 for our passage over the road. When we arrived at Topeka, we met Brother Miller, a stranger to us. But he had a printed notice pinned upon his coat. Camp meeting. We made ourselves acquainted and were soon preparing to step on board his carriage. In my great weariness and hurry, I left my velvet sack. The depot was crowded, and I overlooked it. I did not discover my loss until we had gone about 5 miles. At first, I was much troubled, but I fought with my feelings until I had them under control, and the conflict was ended, and peace took the place of regret and unhappiness. We rode 12 miles over the broad prairie. It was keen cold. We became thoroughly chilled, for we had not even a lap robe or buffalo robe to cover our feet and limbs. When we arrived on the ground, at Richland, Kansas, we found a small board tent made for us, furnished with bed, table, and stove, and having floor with carpet on it. We were made very comfortable. We felt thankful in our hearts to our dear friends for this thoughtful care and tenderness of us. A crock was brought with a very fine chrysanthemum in full bloom. We rested and slept well that night.
Crossing the Red River, Texas, April 30, 1879. We left Denison April 25th, encamped 2 miles out of Denison, waiting for the ferry to be in a condition to cross. We remained until April 30th in a waiting position for the sick to be able to travel and the ferry so that we could cross. We then started on our way with 8 covered wagons and 1 covered spring wagon with 2 seats. 30 composed our party. About noon, we crossed the ferry with special instructions to drive quickly as soon as off the boat because of danger through quicksands. We were all safely landed on the other side of Red River, except Will Cornell, who did not come up in time. Moore and Farnsworth teams waited for them while our hack and 3 wagons went into camp some 5 miles on upon the open prairie. We had a severe tempest strike us soon after our tent was pitched. My husband was trying to hold on the tent. It was a most serious downpour, and the tent not trenched. I think we will learn something on this journey, to trench the tent as soon as it is staked. In Oklahoma, Indian Territory, Thursday, May 1st, 1879. At noon, we camped in a woods. It was not very pleasant. At night, we did not reach any good camping ground and were obliged to stop by the bank of a river in a low spot of ground. It seemed very lonesome journeying in the thick forest. We thought what might be if robbers or horse thieves, Indians or white men should molest us. But we had a vigilant watch guarding the animals. We found ourselves in a better condition than we feared. Friday, May 2nd, 1879. After taking breakfast, we were all hustling and hurrying, picking up, ready for another move. We crossed Blue Creek all safely. Friday night, we camped near Johnson's ranch. Here are found plenty of grass for horses, and at the farmhouse, good milk, butter, and eggs. We were having our first experience of overland journeying in transporting our sick and those too poor to pay car expenses, but the Lord cared for us. In eastern Kansas, May 19, 1879. We had some trouble last night finding a camping ground. We had to accept a poor spot, at least 1 mile from Humboldt. Our tent was no sooner arranged, staked, and thoroughly ditched, as I determined it should be, than the storm struck us. It was a marked display of the power of God. The sun was shining in a portion of the sky, and it was amber in the west. The other portions of the sky were black and threatening. The rain was pouring in torrents. Our tent proved a most welcome shelter. We attempted to find a place in a hotel in Humboldt where we could be free from tempest and storm. We were shown our room, a small, very small room, with 2 beds in it. The air was close and stifling. We decided to take our chance in the tent and endure the storm, rather than the close, stifling air of a small, ill-ventilated room. We returned through the storm to our tent. The wind blew fearfully. We feared the tent would not stand the tempest. As we rode through the town, the air seemed to enclose us. It was hot, even while it was thundering, lightning was flashing, and rain at times pouring down. Our carriage had to be made a bedroom for some of our party, but there was no complaint. Last night, our party of women washed their clothes in the trenches we had made. It is a beautiful morning. The sun is shining, and all in camp are astir for breakfast, while some are packing the wagons for another move. We are on the way again, slowly making our way over the broad prairies of Kansas. At 9 o'clock, we turned out to let the horses feed on grass. At noon, we all drew up upon the broad prairie to take our dinner, within 6 miles of Neosho. Teams are now being prepared for another move, while Mary and I, Adelia and Etta, are gathering up, washing the dishes, and putting the food in baskets. The order comes, "Move on." In 1 hour and a half, we shall be at Brother Glover's. When within 2 miles of Brother Glover's, we sent forward Elder Corliss to learn the situation and inform Brother Glover of our coming. He returned with the information that many had not received the news of the change of appointment and had come on the ground. The meeting was in session, and Brethren Glover and Ayers had moved on, journeying to the camp meeting. We decided to take the train for Emporia. We had 3/4 of an hour to make the change. We took our 2 trunks, and without opportunity to change our apparel, we slept on board the train. We arrived at Emporia about 7 o'clock. We engaged an omnibus to take us to the campground, about 2 miles. 4 powerful horses were put before the bus, and we were carried speedily to camp. All seemed glad to meet us. We pitched our tent, and one and another brought us a piece of bedding, so we had a passably comfortable bed.
Swan Lake, Dakota Territory, July 17, 1879. It seemed to be duty to attend the first camp meeting held in Dakota. The conference has been organized, and we hope good has been accomplished. Last Tuesday, we rode in a hired carriage 21 miles to meet the cars at Beloit, Iowa. When we learned that there had been a bad slide and we could not take the cars before 1 or 2 days, and it may be a week before we can go on our way to Colorado, we hired a man to take his team and bring us 28 miles to Sister Anner's, where we are at the present time. 32, 1879, page 1. To Brother and Sister Daniels, Arthur Daniels was, at this time, a 21-year-old minister in Texas. Elder and Mrs. White spent the winter of 1878-79 in Texas with Daniels and his wife. Near Cheyenne, Wyoming, February 26, 1880. Rested a portion of the night. Coal gas from the coal stove came into the car, affecting my lungs and heart. Have written 2 pages foolscap to send back to Battle Creek for volume 4. Sent 4 pages to Mary Clo. We are having a hailstorm. It is now 2. We entered Cheyenne 1:15. Passed Cheyenne about 3 o'clock. It is snowing and hailing. I feel like breathing out my heart's desire for the protecting care of God on this journey. When I think that this is the 15th time we have passed over this road without accident or harm, I feel grateful to God and trust Him still. He will be our guide and guard on this journey. My heart is grateful, very grateful, for the assurance I have of the presence of God. I love Him. I trust Him. I will praise Him. Arriving in California, Sunday, February 29, 1880. We had a beautiful sunrise. The sky was broadly striped with crimson, gold, and silver. What a picture of loveliness painted for us by the great master artist. Instinctively, my heart was filled with gratitude to God. His wondrous love to fallen man, in giving His Son to shame, reproach, insult, mocking, and an ignominious death, seemed so deep, so rich, so broad. My heart throbbed with glad joy that I was privileged to be a child of God. In the night, I found dear Mary resting upon her elbow, viewing in the bright moonbeams the scenery of nature. We passed Cape Horn in the night. Wild, grandly wild was the scene. Arrived at Oakland about 11 o'clock. We were received heartily by our friends. Oakland, California, March 17, 1880. The trains have been delayed sometimes 9 hours and other days 12 hours in consequence of snows. It has been unusually cold here this month, and some days we hear all talking of the disagreeable northers as in Texas. Woodland, California, March 29th, 1880. We have had a very pleasant season of labor here. We took a train 2 hours too early and had to wait at Davisville in a cold, disagreeable depot 2 hours. As there was no fire in the depot, I much desired to sit in the sun. Elder Haskell tried to borrow a chair for me from the office connected with depot, but officials were not gentlemanly or courteous and refused me a chair, although they were not occupying one at least. I explained the matter in my mind as I saw these men continually smoking in this little office. They were enveloped in a cloud of smoke. Tobacco using benumbs the fine sensibilities and debases and degrades the user, we have marked, in very many cases. At the campground between Hanford and Lemoore, California, April 23, 1880. Willie, Mary, Barbara Stickney, and I left Oakland yesterday at 4 o'clock p.m. for Fresno. We arrived here this morning at 4 a.m. We feel not so bright this morning. We could not obtain berths on sleeper and had to change cars at 2 a.m. at Goshen. We had a pile of baggage, bedding, mattresses, satchels filled with books and baskets of provision. We shall return much lighter loaded. At Goshen, we were directed to wrong cars, and after getting well loaded, were obliged to unload and change to cars on opposite track. We slept some in cars, but my hip troubles me so that I cramped and could not sleep much. We stopped at the ground. Brethren Haskell and Israel met us at the cars and took us to our tents. We had Elder Loughborough's tent, now the property of General Conference. It was furnished with floor, a strip of carpet, bedstead, stand, rocking chair, wash dish, and good little stove. Barbara and I sleep in this tent. There is still another little tent for Will and Mary with bed in it. No wood floor nor stove. Very neat and comfortable. There are 40 tents upon the ground, a restaurant which is the best conducted of any I have seen at any of our camp meetings.
I'm not sure when this may reach you, as the road has been blockaded by terrible snowstorms, and avalanches have demolished freight trains. When we took the cars for this route, there were 50 stout men waiting to take cars for the blockaded roads, for the purpose of shoveling snow. It took 6 engines to drag the cars even a short distance. There had been no mails for 2 days, and they said it would take more than 2 days to remove the obstructions so that they could get through with mails. Telegraph wires are down, and general calamity seems to be on California. Levees are giving way, and Sacramento is flooded. There is great damage done by these last rains. It has rained nearly all the time for 3 weeks. Most of the time it has poured. It is about the first rain they have had in this country. Oakland, California, July 23, 1880. I have been waiting to know what to write definitely in regard to my plans. I have received 3 letters from Brother Burrell, and I wrote him that I could not attend any of the camp meetings east. The expense of crossing the plains would be no less than $300 if I returned for camp meetings here. A dispatch came yesterday with Burrell's and Fargo's name signed, urging me in no case to disappoint them. My expense should be met. I may come alone. Shall leave here Monday or Wednesday. Why these particular times? So as not to be under the necessity of changing cars on the Sabbath. Humboldt, Wyoming County, Nevada, Wednesday, July 28, 1880. Dear children, it is not yet 2 days since we left you, and it seems 1 week. We have had a pleasant and comfortable time thus far. The train stopped 6 hours at Rockwell. We went out in search of our people. We were made welcome at Sister Process. Her husband is not a believer, but he gave us a hearty welcome. We took dinner with them. Was sorry I was not in a better visiting order, for I was so worn, visiting was a tax. We prayed with them about 2 o'clock, and then went to the train only a few rods from their house. We have not yet put up our bed. We, Sister Hall and myself, lie down and sleep much of the time. The more I sleep, the more I want to sleep. I am not worth much. Our car has been filling up until it is filled. Every seat is full, and men lie and roost upon the upper berth, spread their lunch, and make that their home. Upper berths mostly are taken. We retain ours as yet, but may have to give it up any time. As long as we can retain this, we will be as comfortable as on the palace car. We have slept a good share of the forenoon. While I write, it is a little past 2 o'clock. We have just passed Humboldt, not yet halfway to Ogden. 385 miles to Ogden. We have come 335 miles. Our changes will be made Friday morning at 8 o'clock. This relieves my mind. I shall be anxious to hear how Willie is. I hope he is improving. My head aches all the time. I can scarcely hold my eyes open. I feel grateful for the comfortable time we are having. All the passengers are first class. No regular emigrants. We were pleased to find the rolls, but sorry that any of the oranges were left, for they will be the most expensive for us to buy. I found my credentials. Elder Haskell's name was on the envelope, so I did not recognize it. We just draw shawls about our berth, and eat and sleep in our own room, and no one to gaze upon us. We have a pleasant breeze today. Nothing today in scenery but alkali and sagebrush. We have scarcely a bit of dirt. Conductors say that the emigrant cars are made so comfortable the first-class passengers are but few. But now all are crowded. First class, palace, and emigrant. My heart says, God bless my dear children. Be of good courage. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Nearing Cheyenne, Wyoming, August 1, 1880. Dear children, Willie and Mary, we are nearing Cheyenne. We have had not one moment's regret coming this route on emigrant ticket. I have had nervous headache nearly all the way since leaving Oakland. We have had a full car all the way. Every seat was full, and upper berths taken, and was rather of a comical sight to see men sitting on edge of upper berths with feet dangling over the heads of ladies in underberth, eating their lunch and some playing cards. We had no reason to complain, as we had both lower and upper berths to ourselves. Sister Hall and I have had the very best chance to rest. We kept our bed made up for use nearly all the time, curtains about it, making a bedroom for ourselves. Friday at 9 a.m., we changed cars at Ogden without much difficulty. Sister Hall made for the car, secured seats. I handed smaller parcels in at the window. A lady kindly put through the car window all our large bundles, and a gentleman volunteered to put them in the car. So we are again moved. But there was some disagreeable contention about position in the cars. But after a time, our camp was settled, and angry contention at an end. The two ladies sitting opposite us, rather prepossessing in appearance, were not very dignified in their deportment. They condescended to the most boisterous laughter and joking away into the night, until I suggested we remember what time of night it was. But they kept on the same, screaming and laughing, with forward men and a bass conductor, until I was thoroughly indignant. These women professed to be blank. One was a mother of young men. She was as old as myself. Her hair was nearly white, and yet she was jesting and joking with young men of questionable morals. I finally spoke out, and told them we had had quite enough of this extravagant mirth, and constant joking and thoughtless talk and laughter, and that more thinking and praying would be far better. They quit then, and let us have a little peace. Sabbath we shut ourselves up to ourselves, and as I was sick, we lay in our berth all day nearly. It was very hot. We had, we found to our sorrow,
the sunny side of the car. Last night till 10 o'clock, the same gassing and boisterous laughter was kept up. I spoke again. Friends, please let us have quiet and rest. Last night we were kept awake for many hours. We need our rest. This is our right. Everything hushed down after a while, and we had a peaceful rest. We feel better today. It is a most beautiful morning. We shall be in Cheyenne tonight at 5 o'clock. We shall not reach Omaha until Monday night or Tuesday morning, and will have to wait over 12 hours there. Be attached to express train for Chicago. We have very scrimped time. Shall shift off if we see we shall be too late for appointment at Alma. We can but just make it at the best. We feel the need of that Sunday we spent in Oakland ever so much. We shall want to hear from you all. I have not written anything. I dread even the exertion of writing letters. We want to hear from you as soon as possible, for I worry about Willie. Near Laramie, Wyoming, August 15th, 1883. Dear children, we have had another good night's rest. We are near Laramie. The journey thus far has been the most pleasant of any we have had in crossing the plains. In the last car, the seat opposite us was occupied by only one man. We used it a good share of the time. Yesterday we changed at Ogden, and there was no one in the opposite section. We had the entire command of our own section and the one opposite us, so we have not been crowded at all. We have an excellent sleeping car conductor, and on both trains, good accommodating porters. The weather has been rather hot in midday, but it might be worse. We feel deeply grateful for the protection we are assured we have from God. I feel cheerful and happy. I have a good time to think and to pray. I am stronger than when I left Oakland. I feel the need of special help from God, for I know we are indeed exposed to Satan's temptations and to his malice. We need the guardianship of angels day by day, hour by hour. We need your prayers daily, that the Lord would prepare me to do his work and give me largely of his Spirit. For without this grace and his special assistance, I cannot do anything. Oh, I long, I thirst for salvation, for special help from God, to know for myself that my life is hid with Christ in God. I do know that there is nothing on earth I desire beside him. He is the crown of my rejoicing. Separated from Jesus, I should be indeed miserable. I am seated next to that large man, a Frenchman, who was in the depot when we entered it. He is a theater manager. He has a little woman with short-cut hair, an actress. We have become quite well acquainted. This party are very kind and courteous, but the raid they make upon bottles of champagne and wines is to me a marvel. The lady takes her glass with as much ease as the gentleman. I have been courteously invited to join them, but frankly told them I never in my life tasted the article, and had no need for anything of the kind. They opened their eyes with astonishment. I see every gentleman on the train has his liquor flask, and the eyes of some testify that they drink brandy, and considerable of it. But I find the lemon you kindly provided for us fully meets all my wants as far as drinking is concerned. I treat the different parties with my precious fruit, and they try hard to make some exchange but fail. I have all of the kind of food that I would at all accept from them. They feel disturbed to think they are in my debt. There is a family from India on their way to England, soldiers. They complain of the heat here, worse, they say, than in India. They were in the healthful part of the country. They have a nurse for the little boy. She is a native, curiously dressed and curious in appearance. Her hands are tattooed completely. She wears a pink calico dress, nearly straight as a bag, with a short sack of the same. Then a pink figured calico mantle, which crosses before, fastened behind. She is really a good nurse.
Yesterday, while the cars stopped at a small station, a young man came into the cars. Said he had eaten nothing for 24 hours. Sarah gave him provision to supply present wants. He was about 18 years old. Said he had no money to buy anything to eat. We have just finished breakfast. It is now 5 minutes past 8 o'clock. We are about 10 miles from Laramie. We shall not be able to make way with our provisions. Sarah bought a bottle of milk and some warm water this morning. I put ginger in it, and it went well. East Portland, Oregon, June 27, 1884, Sunday. I had great freedom in speaking upon temperance. The power of the subject was never seen and felt by me as upon this occasion. The people from the city listened attentively. Several unbelievers who have used tobacco since their youth have left it off and say they will not touch it more. We left the ground 10 o'clock p.m., stepped on board the train, and were on our way for East Portland. Tuesday morning, the cars stopped at Multnomah Falls for 20 minutes, that all the passengers who chose might ascend to have a clear view. I undertook to go, and I would not go back. It was very steep. There were steps made, then quite a distance zigzag, then more steps. This was repeated many times until we stood upon a bridge made to bridge a chasm above the first fall. This is the Bridal Veil. The water pours from the top to a mountain about 900 feet high, and as the water descends, it breaks upon the jutting rocks, scattering off in beautiful spray. Here was the most beautiful sight to look upon. I would have enjoyed it could I have spent an entire day viewing this scene, but we were grateful for the few moments, although it cost laborious climbing. 800 feet above us, the water rolled from the mountaintops, dashing upon the cliffs and rocks, throwing the water like a veil on every side. Below us, this water, accumulating from the flow above, dashed in a larger fall over the rocks. This was the work of the great master artist, and we could but exclaim, "How wonderful are thy works, Lord God Almighty!" We feel subdued and awed in the presence of such manifestations of the great God. White Estate, Washington, D.C., July 15, 1981.